Bandwidth and hosting for the British Tech Network is provided by UK2.net. Innovative, affordable, and reliable web hosting.
Hello, it's the Mac Show. We're here. I've started without warning anybody. It always seems to work better that way.
Yeah, thanks a lot.
We're here to discuss the week's Mac News. And we're going to discuss last week's Mac News, because we weren't here. I had a bit of a thing come up, so I had to whiz off. So,
Is that what you call a cock-up?
No, it wasn't last week. No, not at all.
But
we're here to discuss... I mean, there's not been an awful lot of Apple news. There's a breaking story, thanks to Carl, we've now got in. And also there's some stuff around Thunder Chicken and that kind of stuff. But we're going to talk about the Tim Talk a little bit, because we didn't cover that last week. Joining me to discuss all things fantastically, wonderfully Mac, I've got the ever-talented bunch of people that are before you. Starting with Mr. Carl Madden.
Hello, sir. How are you?
I'm all right, actually. I've been a bit harassed today, running around doing stuff, but I'm finally done, and I'm sitting here with a beer in my hand, so it can't get any worse. You, on the other hand, are about to get a beer in your hand, aren't you?
After this show, I'm heading down to London to the Bavarian Beer House in Tower Hill to get ratted.
That technical term.
Oh, yes. Yes, that London absolutely. Technical term.
Who's joining you?
I don't know yet. I think Matt is, and maybe Rick and a few others.
Definitely coming, because he asked me if I was going, so.
Okay.
Which I'm not. No, I can't.
So I'll be getting drunk alone. That's good.
You will. Drinking alone. It's always useful. next to him, some bloke I found wandering around outside.
Yeah.
Mr. Swagger, how the bloody hell are you?
Oh, no, I'm not Kyle Swagger. I'm his twin brother, Johnny.
Johnny Swagger?
Yeah.
Up jumped a billabong. what you been up to, mate?
I see no goatee. I call shenanigans on your twin.
Oh, yeah. No, I've been working my butt off for 2 months, and finally I can start having a life again.
It's not good work, is it?
No, it was really great work, honestly. It was a lot of fun. It involved some NBA stuff, so and it was really a lot of fun. And there's, you know, here in the Philippines, there's a lot of great surprises coming up in October for everybody, so it's going to be fun, yeah.
Was that a civil unrest or?
no comment.
A civil war? An uprising?
It would be all the 7,100 islands going against each other.
Oh, blimey. Welcome back, mate. Good to see you. Missed you desperately.
Well, thank you for having me back. I've missed you all as well. Thank you.
Good. And beneath him, Kelly G.
Sounds rude.
Hey, everyone.
Only in your mind. Only in your mind, Madden, you filthy beast. How you doing, Kelly?
Not bad. I have had a great week, and I'll tell you guys about it during the show.
And we've got HD.
It's Mac-related.
Good. Not doing well with the tickets, I gather, though. The support tickets have gone a little bit awry.
A bit, yeah.
Just a little. Because someone decided to have a sale without telling anyone.
Off.
Yeah.
Well, you have a sale, and then you have a newsletter to tell everybody who didn't know about the sale about the sale. And that brings all kinds of questions out of the woodwork. People who go, this hasn't worked for 6 months. Now I'm going to reply to your newsletter and tell you all about it.
Well, don't worry, mate. You're working. That's all that matters. Yeah.
It makes stuff crazy busy.
And working.
Yeah, I have other Mac-related news to talk about during the show, so we'll get there.
Mr. Christensen's in the room and doesn't want to mess with the groove, unquote, because he's bailed on me.
Oh, come on, Adam.
And last, but by no means least,
you want to.
It's Willie Green with the Lemmy mic.
I think it's fairly cool, myself.
I think it is as well, mate. I think when you get to a certain age, when 50 looks round the door and says, "Will, you come in for a beer?" You go, "Yeah, I'm having one."
Yep.
What you been up to, pal?
Not a fat lot, if I'm honest. I'm here, aren't I?
You're here.
You know what I'm doing.
You're not working when you come on shows. Our shows. But yeah, never mind.
Will, would you please find a pair of sunglasses, put your hands behind you, say, your backside, and just go, "You're my wonderwall."
I don't really know. I know Lemmy, but I don't really know any songs that the gentleman has composed.
Could you sing one for me?
Ace of Spades, mate. That's it, isn't it?
I do know that one.
Pretty much.
But only, you know, we only know the it's Ace of Spades and nobody else.
That was uncanny.
Anything else, are they really?
Batwinch wants to know if I want to let Mr. Christensen in, but the problem is I've already started and I haven't got the fifth computer set up, so I can't. So we're a bit stumped, really. There we go. And to top it off, I've put my shirt on inside out. So,
that's the new trend, man.
My Guinness logo's on the inside.
You're bringing it back.
I get more wear out of it that way.
Closer to your heart now.
Absolutely. We'll start off with the breaking news. And someone's putting extra apps in here. What? Meet our funding goal in 3 days. And never mind. We'll start with the breaking news. Apple now has the major labels all signed up for Apple Radio launch. Carl, you've put this one in. Take us through it, bud.
Apparently, all things D are broke that someone's heard a rumour that Sony, which was holding out for some reason, because they wanted...
Because they're tossers.
Well, no, they had a thing where if you only played like 3 seconds of a song, they still wanted paying for it. And Apple said, we're arguing the fact, like, you know, so the price was going backwards and forwards. But obviously they've hammered that out. And now, apparently, all three music labels are on board for this iRadio launch, whatever that may be.
Mm.
Now, if we'll get it Monday or not, that's another thing. But also, no one really knows what iRadio is. I mean, people are comparing it to Spotify and things like that, but I don't think it's going to be that. I don't think you're going to be able to pick who you want to listen to. You'll probably have to pick a channel, and it will just stream similar music to that.
Oh, you reckon it's going to be like WKZP, Classic Rock.
Without those. Yes, without DJ. So it'll probably be like Last FM more than like Spotify, I should imagine.
Oh, yeah. And Last FM was such a success.
Hmm. I actually quite liked listening to Last FM, I have to say. I don't do it very much because if you've got spotty 3G coverage, it just drops out constantly. But and I've got to say, 3's network coverage at the moment for 3G is bloody awful.
So the thing is, if it is just going to be that, the thing that Google have launched, and they're saying they're going to launch it to other areas shortly, where you can pick and choose your music and download your music, that is like Spotify, but you have to pay, I think it's $9.99 a month, which is exactly the same as Spotify.
Yeah, I mean, Batwinch in the chat room saying, is this an Apple version of Radio 2? Could be. Ken Bruce. With a faint Scottish accent.
About the subscription service, I think the appeal of Spotify is that, for me, the appeal of Spotify, I still just use the free one because I don't take it with me a lot of places, but the appeal of it is that I get my own music, but then I also get the curated stuff. I can share a playlist with somebody. I can, publish something and let people add to it or whatever. And have sort of the Spotify radio experience. And I think that both of those together is a good idea. I think that's the thing that Spotify had that a lot of other services didn't have. Like, if I'm playing Pandora, I can't play my Pandora music movie score channel and the movie score stuff that I already have on my computer in iTunes. So making all of that one experience is awesome. To randomly speculate, what I hope happens is the thing that Apple decides this is the last thing they can bolt onto iTunes before it starts looking like the Weasley house. And now they can't do it. And so this is the thing that's going to be the straw that broke iTunes' back. And now we're going to finally get a separate iOS device management app and a separate music app and a separate movie app, whatever. However, they're going to sort it out so that the thing that I buy movies from is not the same thing that lets me update the OS on my phone.
But that's not right. That's not good. Because iTunes is not...
That's awesome.
No, because it won't work.
iTunes sucks.
Yeah, exactly. So putting it in iTunes is the worst. Yeah, but this will make it worse.
No, if this is the thing that they decide they can't add to iTunes, then this will be the thing that pulls it all apart. And that's what I'm hoping for. That's why I've been sort of excited to hear about the radio stuff. Because I want the radio stuff to be like, yeah... we can't do it all in iTunes anymore. Now we have to split things apart. Now you've got like the thing for your phone and the thing for buying other stuff or whatever. Whatever it is, I don't care.
Yeah, but
I want this to be the thing that makes it so that I get one good app for my phone stuff and one good app for buying stuff, and I don't have to have it all in one movie app.
Okay, Kelly, but probability of this being the thing that pulls iTunes apart, zero, I would have said. Unless it's just a standalone app, and that's it.
It's not very probable, but it's my hope. I said I hope that's what happens. Okay. And I don't want to subscribe. At this point, I don't want to subscribe because most of my listening is done in a stock laptop speaker or a stock iPhone speaker. And I don't want to pay to listen to music if I'm listening to it on crummy speakers. Like, if I was going to pay to subscribe to music, I want to hear it on nice speakers. And I generally am not using really nice speakers. So I don't know that $8 or $10 a month or whatever it is would necessarily be worth it to me. I like to listen to music, but I don't generally listen to it on nice sound systems anywhere. So it doesn't,
it would be good
it doesn't
if that
sound
was,
very appealing to me.
It'd be good if that was an Apple TV channel, surely, though.
That's what I was about to chime in on that.
Go ahead, Carl.
As far as the last I heard, that's the only thing I know about the iRadio thing, is it will have its own little separate app on Apple TV. So when Kelly was talking about having a separate app, that's the first thing that popped to my mind about hearing that from our quote-unquote insider, that there would be a service for your Apple TV that if you want to have your unlimited streaming per month, it was going to be $4.99 is what I heard, $4.99 a month. And if you were already on top of the, what you might call it, the, I forgot what the hell it's called now, you have all your music in the cloud.
Yeah, iCloud.
If you had that on that, I think you were supposed to even get it cheaper or free. I don't know if that's still going to be the case now, though. They might just go with the
$4.99. You're saying that Apple are going to charge $4.99 for iRadio?
Yes. Oh, yeah.
That's when does Apple massively
not, when does Apple? Well, yeah. When does Apple not charge for it, though? I mean, they always charge for stuff.
They've got to take their cut, I agree, but that is massively overpriced when you look at Netflix at $5.99.
Agreed.
Spotify's $9.99, though.
That's massively overpriced as well, then.
Well, no, it depends. not really. I mean, the thing is...
$8 here.
Okay, well, we can get all excited about this if this is what we've been looking for, but I can guarantee you, this is announced on Monday, us in the UK are not getting it.
No, I agree.
It's just US only, again.
Yeah, no, I agree.
Now, overall, though, hasn't it compressed a little bit, the foreign availability of some of the things?
Well, no, because you're dealing with...
The iPhone rolled out to more countries at launch, and within the first month, it hit more places. So, it seems like Apple's gotten better about this.
They have, but what we're dealing with here is the music industry and their licenses. They are not going to want... They're going to want more money if they want to do it in Europe, more money if they want to do it in Africa or somewhere like that.
Yeah.
It's all about content distribution, really, is when you get down to it. That's why the US gets TV shows... But the time that they can get them right, and that takes, 6 months before they arrive in the UK store or such. So it's not Apple's call on this time. It's the people that give them the music. It's their call. It's the greedy bastards known as the music industry. It is a bunch of bastards.
Okay, that's true.
It's all they are.
No one's arguing.
They absolutely are.
No, it's why Spotify didn't launch in the States when it launched in Europe. You know, it's just it takes ages to get them on board in different territories. They're just living in the past, and they only moan about their money's being stripped because people are pirating their stuff. But if they don't give them an alternative, a cheap alternative, an available alternative, they're just going to stick to what they know.
So,
and they're really unreasonable about it too. Is this going to make us all the money? Well, no. La 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 la. It's ridiculous.
So here we go then. This is the big question. Buy, no buy?
No buy.
No buy for Carl?
No buy.
Kyle? For God's sake.
There it is.
Kyle and Carl.
If it comes out,
I missed that.
Is it dawning on you now?
If it comes out in the UK and it's the same as Spotify, but it's half the price, then I'll dump Spotify and go with iRadio.
Yeah, okay. Good point. Will?
I'm worn out, to be honest. That was in a pretty intensive 10 minutes, isn't it? Can we have a breather?
Yeah, we go have a toilet break, mate. Go and get another beer. No worries at all.
Is that all right?
Yeah, yeah.
I don't know. I've never really bought into any of this radio stuff. I like, One Night Long Wave, Radio 4. TMS, looking forward to it this year.
Test match special.
Yes, absolutely. Oh. The old Ashes and all that. It's going to be good.
Is iRadio going to have test match coverage?
Well, really, that's all.
Well, because if it hasn't bollocks, I don't want it.
I mean,
if it's not got Aggers on, it's not. It doesn't exist.
I'm not bothered if it has. You know, if I'm not bothered with it if it's not, as you say. But no, I can't see the point of it. What's the point? you play your own music. Well, why don't you just listen to your own music? What's so clever about a radio? What is there to get? I don't understand.
No, it's plain. What it is you don't have to buy the music. You just stream the music that you want to listen to, whatever's in the library, their library, not your library.
I think this is, if it really is truly radio-like, I think the reason that the music is on board, and Adam in the chat room saying it's going to be free, repeatedly.
And ad-supported.
Yeah, but I would see it that they would probably have bought into it on the basis that it's probably likely to be the drug sale to buying albums and buying more music anyway.
Oh, yeah, one-click purchase, yeah.
Yeah, one-click purchase at the side of that. Woomph, bang, I'll have that, thank you very much. And the whole album's there.
I'm bored of music, in some ways.
Go on, because I can identify a little bit with that.
Yeah. Maybe when you get older, I can't be bothered anymore. I listen to a lot of radio plays and stuff like that. But the music thing, I'm not really... maybe it's having young children, even. I mean, you're the same as me. We've both got a young family, and maybe they sap all of the musical energy out of you, I don't know. What do you think?
No, go on. Cool.
My theory is it's things like X Factor and stuff has just cheapened it to nothing. It's just throwaway background noise now.
Mm.
That's my opinion.
Cookie cutter music.
Mm. Well,
I felt that way for years.
I relate to some of what Will's saying there, because for me, music is like that scene from Jerry Maguire where he can't find anything he really wants to sing to. But instead of it being totally inappropriate music, and that's why he keeps moving on, I start and I listen to it, and I get into it, and I'll be like, no, don't listen to that. And then I put something else on, and then you're like, yeah, yeah, come on. Then no, don't want to listen to that.
I can't.
And I've got a good...
records, you guys.
I've got good eclectic taste in music.
Bare Naked Ladies makes kids' records. There's good stuff out there.
Yeah, I'm sure there is.
I hear it. You know what, I know, I'm funny enough, because I'm getting older now, too, and I kind of identify with this. Maybe it's because I'm still stuck of what I liked, you know, mm-hmm. 10, 20 years ago. So that's the way it is. Maybe that's part of getting older. But I almost feel like it's become overly saturated now. It's like, where the hell do I listen to it? Do I go to the store and buy it now? No, because you don't stock CDs anymore. Okay, I'll go on iTunes and buy it, and then I got to... you know, search through there and do that. I still hate the idea that I don't hold something physical in my hand. I'm still part of that generation. I like something physical that I actually bought. And I don't know. I just feel like it's been cheapened. It's 99-cent downloads. It's here's, you know, your $5 album of the week. There's no hype about new releases. The internet's kind of actually has done a lot of that when it comes to pre-releases, you know, the piracy that's out there. There's no hype there much anymore. The thrill of music, I think in a lot of cases, with the X Factor, with the American Idols, with the single song downloads, has really just cheapened it. It's really just made it uneventful, personally for me, I'd say in the last 10 years.
Mm. Chat room, Adam says, I completely agree with Greeny. I'm bored of music now. I seem to have shortened my entirely huge library down to about 150 songs on a playlist that I constantly cycle through. Either those or around 50 hours of audiobooks. Steve Jobs is included. X Factor is pre-manufactured. And then he added, what?
Get off my lawn.
Get off my lawn, yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, we're getting old. That's what it is.
I don't know if it's age, because, like I say, I've got a really good eclectic...
What's that?
I've got lots and lots of music that I like, you know, and it's a broad range. And just because it's new, like the kids... You know, Ellis is into his music. He likes listening to what's in the hit parade at the moment. And I don't mind listening to it. A lot of it's very good. I really enjoy some of it. It's really tuneful. So it's not... It's the young people's music of today is not bad at all. But...
It's got a tune, yes. I like that.
Yeah,
I can hear the words.
Just like when I was a kid.
No, it is. It's not bad. So, but it's not me hating music. It just, I'm finding that you know, music was always the kind of the theme tune of your life, wasn't it? It was what was playing, and you remember doing things like, I remember driving home from a girlfriend's house at the crack of dawn because I had to get home and get changed and go to work because I'd spent the night with her, and Nimbus was playing, and I was just coming across Birmingham as the sun was coming up, and it was an earth-shattering moment for me. It was absolutely beautiful seeing a sunrise and listening to Nimrod, even, not Nimbus. And it was, that was the thing of your life. And those moments don't seem to happen around anymore. I don't hear things playing that make me want to remember a moment. And I think the other problem is radio sold music, and there's no radio that people listen to anymore. People don't really bother with radio so much.
No, I think that's it. I think the cheapen of music, I think there's also a generation out there now that also feels that music's free. It's just supposed to be free. You don't have to pay for music anymore, which is sad, actually, because you should have to pay for music. There's a lot that goes into distributing music. The record industry, though, is the ones that have actually cheapened it. But I see what you're saying about seeing the sunset, going down the road, you know, brings back those memories and all that. The problem is now those memories come off a cell phone with a cheap speaker, and oh, crap, you just lost your 3G service. There went your memory.
Well, it's a good question as well. I'll throw this open because we had this in the pub the other night on Friday when we were talking, and I said a great song is not necessarily one that sells loads. It's not necessarily one that that's critically acclaimed by music journalists. I think a great song is the one that people can remember the words to, all of the words to. So when it comes on the radio, people of a certain generation will stop and will sing word for word everything that happens. And I cited one as an example. I said, Look of Love, ABC. For me, that was one of the classics, not because it was a fantastic song. It's because no matter if you're between 35 and 45, when that comes on the radio, you stop and you sing every single word.
The look of love.
Wrong Look of Love, dude.
Wrong decade's Look of Love. That's
what if I were to say to you, can you keep a secret, would you know just what to do and where to keep it?
Be the chicken song at weddings, though, wouldn't it?
I don't know.
What's... some reason, I don't know that song.
You're kidding me.
I do not know that song. Sing the words.
If I was to say to you, can you keep a secret? Would you know just what to do and where to keep it? Then I say, I love you. Call a situation. Hey, girl, I thought we were the right combination. Who broke my heart? You did. You see what I mean? I know the words.
You were a new romantic, weren't you? Go on, Ewan.
I wasn't a new romantic, but I loved ABC. Lexicon of Love is one of the best albums.
Go on, no. Come out. Come out now. Go on.
It's a good feel-good album. No, I liked it. It was a good feel-good album. When you put it on, you could sing through all the songs, you knew all the words, and at the end of the album, you felt good about yourself. And that's what album. That's what music should do to people.
Exactly, though. It's funny that we're all talking about the same thing. Albums. And it seems like now albums are dead.
They are.
Yeah.
And it sucks because
white dudes didn't make all the money on albums once Napster got started. That's the problem. I was there. I worked for a company that was trying to put DRM on music so that you could actually buy music. And every single computer in our offices had Napster installed. And so what everybody's computer was doing in the background was swapping music with everybody else while we were trying to figure out how to get people. While the company was trying to figure out how to get people to pay for it. So, yeah, it was the album. I'm sad the album overall is gone. There are bands trying to bring it back. Muse is trying to bring it back, which I think is awesome. Green Day did the three albums, you know, all together. That was a pretty cool idea. I like that people are trying something different, but what I'm most excited about with all the stuff about music should be free and all that is that people are finding different ways to get their music out to the people who want it. And for me, that's the most exciting bit. There's a site called Pledge Music, which is Kickstarter for records. People are doing official Kickstarters. Toad the Wet Sprocket. I don't know how much you guys know about them over there, but
I remember them.
The Wet Sprocket was a very popular band here. They haven't had an album out in 16 years. First of all, I'm depressed their last record is old enough to drive. Second of all, they're doing their new album on Kickstarter, and it's going to go straight out to people because they don't have a label, they don't have representation, they don't have to do any of that other crap. So if enough people kick in, they're going to be able to get the record made and release it to everyone. I think that's awesome. I backed on Pledge Music, I backed Mike Doty, the lead singer of Soul Coughing. He's doing a new record that looks pretty cool. And I really like the fact that there's a DIY piece of this that has sort of spun out of the music wants to be free stuff. And what I'm sponsoring is albums. Like, maybe it's because there are a few things I have an attention span for, but one of them is an entire record. and it should tell you all you need to know about Kelly that I still call it a record. So there's that.
Are you saying you do have the attention span for record or don't?
I do.
You do?
I don't have an attention span for much. My patience for a lot of things is very, very low. And yet, I will sit down and listen to an album. It makes me really excited. When the new Pet Shop Boys record comes out, the first thing I'm going to do... Now, I may buy it on iTunes, but the first thing I'm going to do when it comes out is I'm going to sit down and I'm going to listen to it all the way through. And it's going to make me really excited. What's the next song sound like? Do I like this one? Who do I know that is going to go, oh, this is my favorite song on the record. We should be able to talk about it. I'm a huge music nerd. But like you guys were saying, like it's mostly crappy speakers. You know, so
No.
I go by the remaster.
I've got to say, this is me being a Puritan, maybe, perhaps, but first listen to an album has got to be with headphones on. You cannot be disturbed by someone talking, tapping on your shoulder, ringing the bell, phone going off. Yeah. You've got to have the cans on for the first listen.
I agree.
Yeah.
I'm going to be strict on that.
Yeah. I like time.
You're right. You're very right, Mr. Rankin. Very right. Very.
Let's do Tim Talk. Uncle Walt was sitting there beating his meat, listening to Tim talk, and Carl Swisher had body language that was like, don't touch my knee or you're dead, you bastard, and Tim was out there talking. There we go. So, what did they say? I mean, what
Nothing.
They didn't say a great deal, I have to admit. I thought, I have to say, reading through the transcript, because I haven't seen the actual video, but reading through the transcript, I thought it was a pretty passive-aggressive approach from Tim. He was all Mr. Nice Guy, but there's a couple of things in the line there that are like, yeah, it's shit.
What are you talking about? What's this?
Tim did a talk at All Things D a couple of weeks ago, mate, with Kara Swisher and Uncle Walt.
That's what Steve Jobs used to do, isn't it?
We did one, I think, or two, with Bill Gates and that. So Tim did his Tim talk, and there was a series of key questions came up. The interesting one was the Google Glass one, where they said, what do you think of Google Glass? And he clearly didn't want to go, it's shite. He said, it's interesting. But there's a lot more, and wearable tech ultimately is interesting, but I think the wrist is a better place for it than the face. Did you hear that bit?
Did he say that? I don't remember him saying that.
He said that the wrist was a better fit in his mind. I'm sure of it. Hmm. Anyway, discuss.
I watch.
Wearables are ripe for explanation. There'll be tons of companies involved. And then when he was talking about Google Glass, he said that it's an interesting... Here's a quote. Here we go. Google Glass is interesting, as is a lot of wearable tech, but ultimately I agree with you and it's shite. That's what he said. No.
I've got one. They've already done the watch with the combination of the little square Nano years ago. So... I don't know. I saw a new one come out the other day. It looks very good. But, I mean, all they're doing is telling you that you've got a text message on your phone, but your phone buzzes in your pocket, and you know that anyways. Is there any point?
No, I don't think there is, to be honest. I'm in total agreement. I don't think wearable tech is anything that's worth having at all, unless it replaces the other thing. I don't want to carry two devices around, even if one's strapped to my wrist.
Well, I go one on my wrist, and it's got a pedometer on it as well, and it, according to it, I do loads of miles. I don't know what it's thinking.
What?
What?
You just sit bouncing up and down in your chair, don't you, to frig it? That's what it is.
It's pathetic, really, isn't it? Let's be honest. I agree with all the reviews.
Wearables not there yet. I'm going to put the skids to that.
You see, pedometers on your wrist are a problem.
Wearable is interesting, but I don't think it's there yet.
No, I'm just thinking that... Pedometers could be a problem on your wrist for registering what it thinks is a walking stride when actually your arm is just doing an up and down motion.
Up and down motion, exactly.
And that's where Wills is coming from, you see.
You mean drinking beer? That's what you mean.
I was thinking of something a tad more rapid.
Sure. Yeah.
Increasing in speed to an ultimate crescendo, but.
Anyway.
Is it a left-hand or a right-handed watch? Thank you, Bookery in the chat room. Anyways, Tim did say that it was interesting, but he did slip in about the wrist was a better opportunity for wearable tech. Yeah. So I think there is going to be an iWatch this year.
But it
not
is.
My words. Yes.
I think there will be. I don't know. Will you guys buy that, though?
No, I won't.
No, I won't buy one.
I've got a drawer full of watches upstairs I never wear.
It depends on the watch.
But if it's
I might if they make a girl one. I know how dumb that sounds, but if they make a giant watch, that's why I don't like the Nano watch, is because it's huge on my arm. If they make one that I can wear that doesn't take up an acre of the arm space that I have, then I'll be in good shape, and I would totally buy one if it made it so that I could put my phone in my purse or leave it in my backpack and then be able to see that somebody texted me. Sometimes something comes in and I don't necessarily need to take action on it. That way I don't have to take out my phone to know.
I guess I could see that point. The only way I'm going to buy one is if I can talk to Kit. That's it. It's the only way.
I like, I don't know about yourself, and somebody on QI said it the other day, and I'm totally in total agreement. I don't know about yourself, but when I get up in the morning, I read the news and check my van balance and have a poo and stuff. And when you're wiping your bum, you put your phone or your watch in your pants. Do you not? Or is that just me?
I have done that in the past, yes. Like, I do. I've rested my phone
sometimes,
in my trousers to stop
the phones
it. Out. Yeah.
Which is nice.
Especially if the floor's unclean.
Yeah. Somebody called you.
Yeah. There we go. That's ended that conversation then.
It really did, didn't it? God, there was absolute silence then. You could see the tumbleweed.
Yeah.
Can you put some tumbleweed in and post?
Where do you put your phone when you have a shit? Discuss.
If you're in a G-string, it's going to be... It's just, I had a mate, and...
Have you still got him?
No, he was a dear friend who sadly passed away.
Oh.
And, I always remember his quote is, G-strings changed my life, which I think is lovely. I don't know in which way, but they did change his life. Isn't that nice? I've never done the G-string thing. You in?
I've never done a G-string, no, I have to say, mate.
Anybody on the panel, G-string?
Do you mean like on a guitar?
I wore an old girlfriend's knickers to play squash in once because I couldn't find mine, but... I did.
Oh, that's too much.
They didn't really kind of cover enough.
Were they clean or dirty?
No, they were dirty. But not dirty. They were worn. So Tim says, right, Apple's got no issue importing its...
Apple's got... to the shower, though, with your squash partner, and you took your stuff up and you had a pair of ladies' pants on.
Moving on. Apple has no issue porting its apps to Android, says Tim.
Say that again. Say that again. What?
Apple has no issue.
Then where are they?
Porting its apps to Android.
Well, that's a load of BS.
Tim's quote again. We have no religious issue. We have no religious issue with porting an Apple app to Android, said Cook.
No issue. Anyway.
If it made sense for us to do that, we'd totally do that. You could apply that to any area of Apple. That's far from a guarantee that apps could be coded by Cupertino will turn into Google Mobile iOS, but you could see things like iMessage, perhaps, go in.
Where are they? Where is iMessage? Where is FaceTime? Where is iCloud and all these other services, which would be a lot better if they were open for everyone to use?
Well, I agree, absolutely.
Because Google Plus Hangouts, when they take on SMS, which they say they're going to do in the next few months, that's going to blow away iMessage because it will be cross-platform and you can use it wherever you want.
Absolutely.
And you might actually get your messages.
Mm.
And God knows I don't want to use iMessage. Yeah, in order.
When you do Google AdSense ads reflect your viewing history. Yes.
Okay.
I've just called it the Tim Cook Apple has no issue porting its apps to Android thing, and on the right hand side there's an app. There's a little ad there, and I've just bought an X hose for the garden because our hose is worn out, and I saw an advert for an X hose on the TV, and I bought it because I thought it looked cool. So I bought it from British Home Stores, and they've put an ad up that they've got. Despite the fact I've bought it, a British Home Stores ad here offering me two of the hoses that are available on X hose plus the clip which I actually bought to hold it up, but the fourth space on the advert, it's showing me a pink bra. Now, I have not cruised the lingerie section of BHS. That can't be right. I haven't. I really haven't.
Public denial.
No, I really haven't. I don't mind.
I thought she was up. No,
well, if I had, I'd have just kept quiet, wouldn't I? I wouldn't have brought this up. So there you go.
Yeah, no, but you have to. That's part of the public denial, isn't it?
It's better to
come out with the truth now and deny it rather than the papers come out in a few days.
Yeah, you got me.
Why are you looking on the web for hose?
I got a hose. I bought a new hose for my garden.
Oh, oh that's sorry. Like, sorry.
Hose? What did you think? Jesus Christ, Madden.
I live in London.
What's that going to do with it?
Nothing.
Okay, moving on. Johnny Ive is the key to the look and feel of human interface going forwards.
Of course he is. I love him. I love Johnny.
Get him up here. Will wants to muff him.
I don't want to muff him at all. I'll do weird things with hoses that I bought off the internet, ranking, and talking about ladies' underwear. No, I love him. He's brilliant. He's the future of Apple.
Yeah, really Will would wear ladies' underwear for Johnny.
Yeah.
Without a doubt. Without a doubt.
Or a pair of pants with Johnny's face on the front of him and play squash.
There was a piece by Kevin Rose, like the co-founder of Dig, and he says it's meant to look very different, what Johnny Ivers
Wasn't there a picture leaked out this week? It looks extremely flat.
Fake. That was
fake. That was fake. All right, okay. Fake,
yeah. That's like that interactive thing. I think I played with that too. Yeah. If that's what iOS 7 looks like, hello, Samsung.
Exactly. Yeah, I feel exactly the same way.
Right. And the other thing he said was he's got a grand vision for Apple TV. There is an Apple TV grand vision.
Mm. I still don't think it's a set, though.
I don't think it's a set anymore now. I think it would have been and gone by now. Kyle, have you changed your mind on that or not?
No, I haven't changed my mind on it. I think Apple's waiting for the economy to get its rear end right. I think really if that's where you want to put it.
He's in denial. Before this podcast went live, he asked me what my PayPal address was so he could send me the $20 and the bet that the Apple TV was going to be a reality. Go on, admit it. Go on.
Well, there was a time frame that it was Christmas, which has come and gone. So.
Yeah, it's come and gone now. I honestly think it's a market that they will eventually get into. I don't know when now, but I really feel it's an economy factor. There's not a whole lot of people out there right now that's going to go drop $3,000 or $4,000 on a television set, you know. And I have a feeling that's about what it's going to cost, maybe about $2,000 to do whatever this grand thing is. And I think the content, you know, getting everybody on board to do how they want to do this hasn't flied yet. And that's really, I think, what's holding everything up. If that's the case, we would have a lot more content already available on our Apple TVs, per se. And I don't know. I think I still feel they're going to go that direction eventually. Eventually, it's a given.
They're going to make a set, not just a...
I think so, yeah. Yeah. Well, we already know there's prototypes, and... I just don't think they've found the market yet, or the market just isn't right yet to introduce it yet. But I think you will see one.
Are we going to get any of this grand vision on Monday?
Oh, hell no.
Kelly's shaking her head. Obviously, not. That's not one for the audio podcast fans.
No. I'm shaking my head because I think if Apple was going to do it, Apple would do it the way they're doing it now. It is a thing that you add to an existing television for a couple of reasons. Number one... I think Apple is a for-profit company. I think we can all kind of agree on that. And Apple wants to make money. And people don't buy a new TV every 2 years the way they buy a new iPad or a new phone. And they don't buy even every 3 years like a new computer. So why would they make something and continue to revise it and continue to make it better if people aren't going to buy a new one for 5 or 6 or 10 years or more? So I think they've got a good system going now. I still think if they were going to do it, that the way they should do it is that they should get in cahoots with an existing TV manufacturer and just build in some sort of integration so that the remote for the television will also control the Apple TV. You only get one remote. It's got a little dent in the back where you can set your Apple TV and everything can get controlled properly that way. I think if they were going to do it, that's the way that they should do it. And that would be a lot more convenient for everyone. And then that way, when they rev the Apple TV, people won't think twice about going and getting a new one. I know people who collect Apple TVs like they're Pokemon, because at $99, people don't think twice about it. For a lot of people, it comes under what a friend of mine calls the SAF, spouse approval factor. Like at $99, you don't have to run it by the other person. You can just come home with one and it may not be that big a deal. So everybody's threshold is different. But for a lot of people, that's just, you know, on the way home, I stopped at Best Buy, bought an Apple TV. Here you go. And, you know, now everything that's on your computer, you can see on television or, you know, in my case, you can stream your music to the big speakers in the other room.
Yeah.
That's what I want to do. So that's the bulk of what I use it for is Netflix and my media, you know, in a better setup than a 13-inch laptop screen. So I think if they were going to do it, that's what they should do. Now, maybe their grand vision is a lot better on the box, but I don't think it's going to be an Apple-branded screen set.
But I definitely think Kelly's. Kelly's definitely right with the whole approach about the Apple TV. I did the same thing on my birthday. I was just out and about. I bought an Apple TV. Just bought another one. I bought the 1080p one because I hadn't had one. I've just found one.
I've had it in a box for a year.
And at 99, the 720p.
Quit, I missed it.
I had the old. Yeah, I just had the 720p. Threw it in the bedroom, and just had to say now though. If you ever thought you were ever going to get me off FLAC, it's happened because now everything is in my iTunes library. I don't have any FLAC anymore.
Aren't we going a bit Leo Laporte here with this? I bought an Apple TV and I'd forgot I even bought it. Christ. Every 20 quid matters to me. When you've got young children, oh yes, either I bought a new Mac and I put it in my bedroom and I forgot I'd got it. Money is important. Whatever you think, 100 quid is 100 quid, isn't it really? And there it is.
Yeah, it is. I mean,
compared to a TV.
No, absolutely. But I mean,
to a TV, 100 quid isn't so bad.
There was a good point from Amber Mack on the Big Show a couple of years ago when we were talking about the $35 cheapy Indian tablet thing. And I said, I'll get one just to see what it's like. And she said, and then what are you going to do with it? You're going to throw it in landfill? You're going to recycle it? You're going to, you know, all of that is going to have an environmental impact. And you just bought disposable tech for $35 because you can burn it. And it's the same with Apple TV. There is a certain element. You just buy another one because if you break it, I'll buy another one. Easy go.
They can increase the worth of Apple TV tomorrow. All they have to do is open it up so developers can develop apps. If you can get a native Plex app, for example, on the Apple TV, then that will blow everything. I know Will doesn't like Plex. For whatever reason, because it's hard to get off.
Will doesn't like Plex. Will loves Plex. He loves Plex. He doesn't like it. He loves it.
But if you could get that on your system, for example, Apple TV, just load it as an app. That would be fantastic. And loads of other, like, get iPlayer as an app. Get, in America, CBS. Get HBO. All as apps. And that you're just through your little box, without doing anything else, pop and open it up to other developers, you're making it much more worth, you know, having than, say, a Roku or any of a plethora of other boxes are out there at the moment. And you don't have to do anything. You don't have to worry about screens because everyone's doing 1080p screens or in a few months or a year or so, 4K screens. You don't have to worry about any of that. All you got to do is let your developers do all the work for you and you just take your $99 or pounds in.
Yeah, but that then adds production cost to them because they've then got to make sure that the hard drive can cope with all the apps that you want to put on. If someone buys 200 apps, then they've got to compensate for that somewhere. And it's only got an 8 gig drive at the moment. And you're...
No, it's the same with phones, though, isn't it? You can't get all... Well, I couldn't load up all my apps on my phones now. You just pick and choose what you want.
It depends what the load of those apps, though, is. I mean, if you put on... isn't it Real Racing 3? It takes up some stupid, like... 1.6 gig.
It's huge. The only thing I could see possibly as a hindrance, not so much the size of the apps themselves, but limitations on what people can stream to their homes. Because we're on Virgin, me and you, Ewan, we're on Virgin, so we don't really deal with that. But there's other people out in the country that have got like 1.5 meg download and stuff. So it might be an issue for them.
I think that's the biggest problem with that, with all of the Apple TV stuff is The connections aren't up to it. And I think for us, it's the connection speeds, and for America, it's the data loads, the quantities.
And I would actually, I'll go one further on you, actually, Ewan. I think Apple wants to do that. Everything that we're talking about now wants to do that. It's your HBOs. It's your, I don't know about Plex, because they want you to the Apple platform, but it's your HBOs, it's your CBSs, it's your NBCs, it's your BBCs. It's all of these people that don't want it on the Apple TV. Because they want you either watching their channel or using their app, but they don't want you watching in front of the TV. Even though we can't AirPlay stuff, yes, I get that. That's probably in an agreement with Apple to be able to do it. But there are certain apps out there that won't let you AirPlay unless you try to get around it, particularly with there's a lot that won't, you know. I'm trying to think of one actually off. Well, Netflix doesn't allow you to AirPlay and
Sky Sports,
that kind of stuff.
And Sky Sports, Sky Go won't let you. Love Film won't let you.
So, I mean, I think it has a lot to do with these people do not want that content. They either want you to buy something from them to see that content, or they want you to use their app and call it good. It's all of these restrictions right now when it comes to media content and how we consume it. That's the problem right now. It goes with music, it goes with video, it goes with all of it. Mm. I think the Apple TV, yes, is unlimited. Why wouldn't Apple want you to go spend $100 and be able to watch HBO whenever you wanted to? Of course they would want you to.
Matt in the chat room says there's absolutely no reason for Apple not to create 128 gig Apple TV. It would be easily done and relatively cheap. And he's right.
I can't use my Apple TV after 6 o'clock at night.
Why not?
Because of the broadband. I'm sure there's many people in my... Because I live in the country and stuff. 6 o'clock, done. All gone. And the weekends. Can't use it then either.
Yeah.
You can use it during the daytime, but that's the big killer, isn't it? And so, yeah, if you could be able to cash a little bit more into your Apple TV, then that would be great. But to alleviate...
I thought it cashed your rentals. Issues. It caches your rentals. That's why it's got an 8 gig drive in it.
Oh, is that right?
Because you've got a limited time frame to watch your rentals.
It doesn't cash your rentals.
It does.
I can tell you that for a fact, because I have rented stuff many times, right? Well, not many times, 2 or 3 times, and I've been able to watch it, and I've rented it the day before, and it'll say, this will be available to watch in 28 hours or something ridiculous it comes up with, and then you go to the next one, you press play, and it doesn't play. That's rubbish.
It might not have downloaded it, but I thought it cached your movie to ready to play on a rental just so that you could do the 48-hour limit. That's why it's got an 8 gig.
No, don't do that at all.
Has it actually downloaded it to start with, though? That's what I'm saying.
Yeah, well, yeah, because so you leave it overnight when they sort of because they throttle the broadband, basically, at the local exchange. In the morning, it'll say it's ready to watch now, and you'll think, oh, okay, I'll go to work, come back, and you press play, and it won't play when you come home from work the night after. And I've lost a couple of films that way.
Mm-hmm. You should write and get your money back, because you would get it.
Mm. Yeah, mm-hmm. Maybe so. It's thing is, I'm with Sky, and our neighbours are on Orange, and they go through exactly the same exchange, just a little exchange, but theirs isn't throttled, and ours is. And I've been onto Sky and say, why are you doing this? And say, oh, no, it's nothing to do with us, it's BT. And you think, you know, well, it's you, isn't it? It's either part of your policy or something like that. I don't know. My birthday on Tuesday.
Happy birthday, mate. Have a good birthday.
Do you know what I'm getting for my birthday?
What are you getting for your birthday?
Apple TV, yeah. Yeah.
I am getting a Raspberry Pi with an SD card, and I'm going to run RISC OS. British computer, British operating system.
Good
Thank
lad.
You very much.
We like that.
Very.
Well done.
Well, I would have bought you one up if you told me you wanted one of them.
He says it now, though, doesn't he?
Yeah, it's all well and good,
isn't
it?
I thought you was Apple man, you know?
Yeah. Well, I'm British and I'm Apple. That's the thing that I do, yeah. Really. British computing and Apple computing.
Keep your beer free-flowing, says that one.
And now he works at Google.
There is nothing wrong with Google. I mean, I think they're doing such a good job that they're making Apple and everybody else sort of stand up and notice. And Apple are, I think, on the back foot compared to Google when it comes to innovation.
I agree.
A little bit. I agree. Good point.
I agree.
This
way
podcast.
Go, that's a way to keep your job, Will.
And all the others is brought to you by UK2. They've got an offer on at the moment because the world will increase its prices for dot-coms on the 1st of July. And if you want to get a dot-com at the cheaper rate, you can go and do it now at UK2. And you'll still get your discount off with us. So please, please, please support UK2. Use our webpage first. Go to britishnetnetwork.com. Click on the sponsors page. Use their click-through from there, then we get the kudos for having sent you when you put the offer codes in and it hasn't just come off a voucher site or something like that. UK2.net are absolutely fabulous and wonderful and dandy. Please support them because they support us. Right. The Bash is coming up. It's Saturday the 6th of July. Tickets are £30 per person if you would like to come. That covers all of your food, all of your beer, absolutely everything. You'll have nothing to do on the day apart from take part in the World Card Cutting Championships and an FIA-sanctioned Space Hopper Grand Prix that will be taking place. There'll be heats running from 11 o'clock in the morning, and the finals will be in the afternoon. And Batwench is coming, she's doing it, and she's wearing a corset, so make sure you're there in time for her heat. On a space hopper. Mm. you can also come to the curry, which is the 5th, the night before, at 9 p.m. at the greatest curry house in the world, the Kismet Curry House.
Rubbish.
Buy a ticket.
That's rubbish.
£10 if you want a ticket. That gets you £10 off your meal and reserves you a place. Nothing more than that. Bash, 6th of July. Buy your tickets now, otherwise you won't have a chance to get in there, and we've got a fantastic lineup. We've got some great fun taking place on the day. The venue is superb. It's absolutely gorgeous. The weather's booked, and we've got a lady doing the catering who runs the cafe down there, and it's not a cafe. It's a little restaurant-y type thing, and the food she makes is unbelievable. So, and she's doing all the catering for us, which is superb. So there you
go. I've been listening to you ranking, slagging off my curry house, comparing it to yours.
I haven't slagged yours off at all. I've just said mine's
superb. Yes, you have.
Superb.
You said yours is the best in the world. Don't listen to Greenie. He's talking rubbish.
Yeah, yeah, because mine's the best in the world. That's all.
So oh.
I haven't said yours is crap. Yours was a nice curry. I enjoyed it very much. Just not the best in the world. There we go.
Well, I'm looking forward to coming to your curry house, and I will come with a happy heart and will not judge it.
Good man.
Too harshly.
Good man.
Are you the mayor of your curry house?
I don't do check-in, mate. I'm far too intelligent for doing that.
Yes, you do. You tell us every time you go into it.
Oh, yeah, but I don't check in, like, on Foursquare or something like that. That's sad.
No, he doesn't. That's he just really sends sad. Out a tweet on Twitter and says, "Hey, guys, I'm here all alone." Yes.
I turned out the tweet, do your nans look like this? And then everyone goes, oh, that looks good. See, and it is. There we go. Bash, 6th of July. Curry, 5th of July. Buy a ticket. BritishTechNetwork.com. There's a big banner up.
Tickets are £30 now, right?
Yup, £30. I had to buy the more expensive venue. So those that were loyal and ducked under the wire got the deal cheap. Those that are disloyal and haven't ducked under the wire either don't come or pay extra. I couldn't give a stuff. Monday night, what are you doing? Because I will be at the Old Explorer pub in London, just off Oxford Circus. It is the keynote, and the London Mac user group, chaired by Steve Neighbour there in Shot, has got an event. You can go down, you'll get a warm welcome, you'll be signed up at the door, and there'll be beer and there'll be a grub and that kind of stuff on, and you can watch the keynote with loads and loads of people that are like-minded. The last time we had one of these, there was like 200 people there. It was really, really cool. And there'll be a little discussion, come recording, podcasting that we'll shove out afterwards while the keynote's taking place, and just come down and have some fun, because like I say, the people at the Elmer are really, really good guys and girls. The Old Explorer pub, just off Oxford Circus, from 5:30. I will be there, as will Dr. Happy Mac. He's coming as well. He's got the bus over from Cirencester. And Steve Neighbour will be there, and a few others. Carl will be there. Carl?
No.
You're not there?
No.
Why not?
No, I can't, because I have to start at 5 o'clock in the morning.
Oh, you can come for the keynote. After the keynote, it all kind of winds up at 8:30 anyway, so we're not doing a podcast afterwards anymore. It's all done during.
Yeah. There's bills to pay and Apple TVs to buy. Let the man work.
Right.
Or find.
Cool thingies.
Yeah.
Mr. Madden, what do you have?
I'm going to go with a Google product.
No, you can't go with a Google product. You should have gone with a Google product on the big show, not on the Mac show.
I did it there as well.
Oh, go on then.
So I'm
going
to go with... Very wise you're going for a Google product.
Oh, I know what your Google product is, and I think it's excellent. Yes, I think you should do it.
Google Plus Communities. So I've set up... communities for all the most of the shows on the network. So we've got the Mac show, the Gamer show, the Big show, the iOS show, the Photo show, and the Big show. So if you're on Google Plus, come and join our communities and like share stories and interact with the hosts and stuff like that. And we'll be posting stuff there, as well as like links to all the picks that people find during the week. So you'll be actually able to find them and track them down and take advantage of these picks that we do every week.
Which are in the show notes that are produced by Miles Wheatley. Good old boy that he is. Thank you very much, Miles.
So, yes.
That's a spam I was getting last week.
That's, yeah. Yes, that was me.
Bling.
Sorry about
Bling.
That. I work fast.
Ring.
We will have a Mac hangout from this. After this.
Where?
We'll have a Mac show hangout after this, just before Carl runs to the pub. Well done, mate. Thank you very much for your effort in setting those up. They're superb. And we're doing well on members, haven't we? We've got 100 already in a week.
We're just under 100 on the Mac show one, so come and join us. Let's get over 100.
Brilliant. We'll put some links in the show notes for you on where to go for the communities. Cheers, Carl. Mr. Swagger, if you remember, yes, you're required to have a cool thing.
I do. Yes, I do have a cool thingy. I don't know if this is for the UK market. I don't know if it's for the US market either, but you know me, getting into rugby now. I decided to sign up for a service called Sententa Sports Plus over here, and they have a really fantastic app. It might just be in the Asian app stores, though, like the Philippine store and Singapore store and things. Of course, there are ways around that, ladies and gentlemen, if you really need your rugby. And it's really a fantastic app. It's free. The service, I think, is $15 a month, but you can watch all lots of live games. You can watch on-demand games. And right now it's not working because my bandwidth sucks because I'm using it all for Skype right now, so it's not coming in.
Good.
But it's really good. Unfortunately, there's no free trial or anything like that. That was something I was a bit disappointed about. But there is a lot of live rugby on there. NRL is also on there too, and you'll get to see every NRL game if you're into rugby league out of Australia. So it's really cool.
Makes sense.
What's it called?
Sententa Sports Plus. You might have to look in the. I don't know if it's in the US stores or not, though. I know it's in the Philippine stores.
I don't think it's in the UK one.
No, I doubt it. I don't think we would see it. Well done. It's all right. We got a lot of Filipino listeners. That's fine.
Yeah. So if you're a rugby fan in the Philippines or in Asia, check it out.
Rugby. Are we watching the rugby together tomorrow morning, mate?
What time is it tomorrow morning?
10:30, 11 o'clock kickoff.
Your time.
Okay, yeah.
I might then, yeah.
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 We should do that. We'll sit down and watch rugby together. Excellent. Kelly G, you got Mrs.
Yes. My pick is the exciting thing I was telling you guys about at the beginning of the show. It's called App Camp for Girls. And it's something that Gene McDonald from Smile Software came up with at WWDC last year when she was in a giant room full of people for a session and realized from where she was sitting she couldn't see another girl in a room of like 5,000 people. And she decided to do what she could to fix that. And so we're starting a camp. It's a week-long summer camp kind of a thing. And it's a lot like Rock Camp, which a lot of people have heard of, where you start at the beginning and you don't have to know anything about what you have at the end. And then at the end, like with Rock Camp, you play a concert. So you play like a song and there's a concert and all the different groups get together and their bands all come and play one song. And, you know, you after a week, you can play that song.
Wouldn't that be
Bandcamp?
We're going to
do the same thing with iOS development. Bandcamp is something completely different. Okay. This is Rock Camp.
Okay.
And, Will knows. He's rocking the Lemmy style mic down there. So what we're going to do is we put up an Indiegogo fundraiser to get the organization off the ground. Because we're thinking big. We want to do more than just camp here in Portland. We want to do a bunch of camps. We want to do them all over the U.S. We want to do them all over the world. When you guys are ready to have App Camp UK, I'll come over and set that up. And so we've put together an Indiegogo fundraiser in order to get the organization off the ground, not just camp this summer, the whole thing. And it's a nonprofit. So here in the U.S., I don't know how it works with foreign countries if you donate to a nonprofit in the United States, but if you donate, there's different perks. It's like a Kickstarter campaign. There's different levels of sponsorship that you can do. We put the fundraiser up 3 days ago, and what we wanted was $50,000, and we have it. But we want to be
able to do $50,000?
Big, great, awesome. Yeah. Yes.
Run, woman. Get the money and run.
Well done, girl.
Yeah, I wouldn't bother with all this rubbish.
Lesbian
camp and they haven't quite made up their minds and invite blokes along style thing. That's one thing. But
I don't recall her mentioning lesbian band camp, mate. I think that's your flight of fantasy there.
Well, that'd be good, wouldn't it? a lesbian camp but the key thing is lesbian camp who haven't quite made up their minds. That's the key thing at the end.
And then earth are you on, Greeny?
£50 a ticket. Shall I shut up?
Unless there's anyone else you'd care to offend. Yeah.
I think I've done most people now.
I think you've really pretty much shot that one to pieces. Yeah, thanks, mate.
That's okay.
That's okay. Good, thanks. So when's the event going to happen, Kelly?
We're having one at the end of June. We're doing beta camp, and then the actual camp is going to be in August. And then once we've done those, we will be able to plan for next year and maybe build camps in other cities and be able to, get more happening. And that's really what we want to do. And so anything that we get from here to the end of the fundraiser, now that we've met our goal, which I'm still really, like, amazed by, because it's just basically like going and asking people, can you please help us? And the amount of help that's been offered, the amount of money that we have, the number of people who are interested is really awesome. And when you guys hear me banging the community drum, this is the thing that I'm talking about. This is what we do that no one else, no other community has, I don't think. And so to me, that's one of the great things about being an Apple community person. So we're going to do two camps this year to kind of work out all the kinks and get everything finalized. And then once we've got it down to a good system, we're going to start doing it in other places. And that's what the rest, anything that we make from the rest of the fundraiser is going to go toward.
Very good.
And I'll tell you guys about other events too, because one thing we're going to do, we hope, is have a karaoke fundraiser where there will be people live here in Portland at our favorite karaoke joint downtown. And you will be able to submit songs via the internet. And if you donate a certain amount, you know, we'll have donation levels. So for a certain amount of money, somebody will sing Love Shack. And for a certain amount of money, Don't Stop Believin', and, you know, things like that. So I'll tell you guys about the other stuff that we're up to, because it's awesome. It is such a wonderful idea. I can't believe I get to help with it. And it makes it very exciting for me to help make the world a place where another girl may not have to go through what I went through as being the only girl.
Excellent. I like that. The only problem we'll have with that is that all through July on the podcast, Kelly will be going, and this one time at rock camp.
No. Love Shack.
That's Oreo with the big paws.
You could go and do the karaoke thing and do his ABC song.
I'll do that after the show.
Yeah!
I will do it after the show. We can all sing along in the chat room. The chat room can type.
You can charge for him to stop.
I'll get $50,000 there. Easy.
That was one of our other people said was, I really do not sing. And I said, then what we'll do is we'll have people donate so you don't. She was like, that's awesome. So.
Before we do, Greeny, I just want to say thanks to the people that have left reviews. Seriously, though, great podcast, says Sunken Convoy. From Australia. Both sides of the Atlantic. Great job moderating and challenging opinions are made. Helps me understand some of the Mac issues I've got. Bloody British English, says Tonnerism from the States. Sometimes I feel I need subtitles to their slightly raunchy British battier. I think that's banter. Yes, this is the podcast about Mac, but what they do on a show... But what they do on a slow Apple News week. Talk about bloody hell. This is a Monty Python cast of characters with guests like Christensen for some sanity. I love it. Kim Photo says this is a Marmite of podcasts. You'll either love it or hate it. I find it's a perfect complement to Mac Break Weekly with the cross-pollination of cultures provided by Andy and Donna appear on both shows. Someone's got a phone going there. Ewan is a strong anchor and Tom brings a bit of sanity to the proceedings to combat Will Greed.
That's nice.
There we go. Hector 88 says, I'm in South Mississippi, USA. I may be your Mississippi listener. I'm a long time podcaster. Is that a song? Are you my Mississippi listener? Most meet of tech and podcasts. I'm a PC tech in a school district and I'm a big fan of the Twit Network and Revision 3. However, I find myself enjoying the Mac Show and the Big Show most of all. The conversation is always stimulating with liberal doses of humour, spelt correctly. Well done, that man, with a U. Even when there's no Apple news, you always seem to get the discussions right, and it's thought-provoking as well. Thanks very much. If you leave us a review, we'll read them all out. But there you go. We'll put them in. And this Comcasting, the comment casting that Greeny you recommended the other week, dude, what a brilliant thing that is.
Mm-hmm.
Pretty, yeah, it's clever, isn't it?
It's awesome. It's bloody awesome. Fantastic. Please leave us reviews. They make a huge difference to our rankings, and we love them to bits. And the man that always gets a kicking in them, or a lot of love in half of them, Will Green. What's your cool thing, mate?
That was good. I like that.
There's my segue, see?
Yeah, it was really good. When we're talking about Common Cast, what was that podcast I was on?
British Mac?
No.
Oh, right.
No, I did a guest host.
On what?
On this other podcast.
All right. And you can't remember which one?
No, and I got the... God, it's getting old,
isn't it? British Tech Network had a Common podcast.
Which one?
This one.
I know I'm on this one.
No.
I've lost it that much.
You don't remember which podcast you're on, but is this your pick anyway? No?
No, it's not. I just wanted to say thank you to the chaps, Guy and Gaz, over at the My Mac podcast.
My Mac,
there we go.
My Mac podcast.
Well, a great podcast and well worth a listen. Lovely chaps. Lovely, lovely blokes.
Excellent. Yeah. We like Gaz. Gaz is coming for a curry.
Yeah, I saw that. I look forward to having a beer with everybody, with Gaz and yourself, and see slagging off your curry.
Yep, you do that, mate. So what's your pick then, dude? What's your cool thing?
The Lost Treasures of Infocom. So for a long time, I used to play interactive...
Role play.
Adventures.
No. You know, the text adventures, interactive fiction, that's what they call it. And so back in the day, in the 80s, there was a company called Infocom, and they did these most amazing interactive fiction games. And I used to play them on my Scion and on my Mac and stuff like that. And when you bought them, they gave you, they called them feelers. Basically, it's a load of, not props, but things to get your So imagine you're an 8-year-old or a 10-year-old and you've gone to the computer shop and bought this game, you're really excited about it, and you got on the bus and come home, you open it, and inside there's like maps and the history of a haunted house in there and everything. They put T-shirts and stickers and all sorts. And really getting you into the game, not just within the computer, outside the computer as well, so you could really buy into the whole sort of creating the atmosphere.
Good.
And what Activision has released the Lost Treasures of Infocom. If you want to buy the complete set, it's $5.99, but I think you can buy one game for 99p or something like that. And they've done an amazing job of making it, to get the atmosphere in there. They've scanned and photographed all of those pieces of atmosphere props, if you like, outside, and you can explore them. They've also put InvisiClues. I won't go into it, but InvisiClues, like cheats, really. They've just done an amazing job of making something that's 20 or 30 years old as compelling today as it was then. So, The Lost Treasures of Infocom for iOS, iPhone, or iPad.
Excellent, mate. Good pick. Good.
It's good, isn't it?
It was. That's not bad. I remember Seventh Guest. I used to play that loads.
Oh, I love Seventh Guest.
That's
Seventh
Guest and, level on Mac.
Seventh Guest is available on Mac, yes. It was the guys that did that.
Mm-hmm.
It was...
Ultimate Software.
They're now...
Tris, no.
Trilobite.
Trilobite, that was it. That was it. Trilobite Software. They used to do it. Superb. My pick is VideoFireMe. I got a press release this week saying about VideoFireMe, would I give it a go? And I thought, yeah, I'll have a stab at this. And I made a little video. And what's nice about... What separates this from Vine... Vine's is 6 seconds. VideoFireMe, you can make it a lot longer than that. But this allows you to put a music track. So we were talking earlier on about music being the kind of, the background to your life. You make a little video here with people talking and that kind of stuff, and you can pin a music track underneath it that'll play while you're watching the video. So you make your own little movie of your life. And I had a little play with it. It's dead easy to use. You can get an instant result very quickly and very easily. It's a couple of seconds and you're away. The only thing that I've got as a criticism is it would be really nice if you could duck the music, or if the music had an intelligent ducking system that went with it when there was something else going on. Or you could duck the background audio. So I took a picture of the washing just to see what it was like. And of course, you've got that ground rush in the background that's constantly on video if you're not careful. It'd been nice to have been able to duck that away and let the music take over. So a bit more tweaking with the audio features, and I think this would be a really cracking little app. And you just make your video, and you post it online, and away you go. That's it. I think it's 69p. So not bad at all. Not bad at all. Video find me. Right, where can we get a hold of you, Mr. Madden?
Oh, you can get hold of me on Twitter at Clausia101 or on Google Plus or on as a regular guest on the media show or on the Here and There show.
Yes, with Missy. Mm-hmm. How is the girl?
She's fine. We hope to do another show tomorrow, so hopefully it'll be 2 weeks running, so we'll be on the trot then.
Well done, mate. Back on the horse. Mr. Swagger, where are you?
Find me on Twitter at Kyle Swagger or at kyleswagger.com.
Thanks, mate. Good having you back, pal. Nice.
Thank you. Thank you very much. Nice to be back.
Ms. Gamont, where would you be?
You can find me on Twitter and app.net as Verso. And you can also find me over at tuaw.com and hosting the Tuwa Talkcast, where I'm also an occasional host on Angry Mac Bastards podcast as well.
And camping with the girls at the end of the July, getting bitten by flies.
August, and we'll be inside. So
hopefully. Oh, that's not camp then, is it?
It's not camping. It's
you got a camping.
Like summer camp, you know, like tennis camp, golf camp, those kind of things.
You're going to be in hotels, aren't you, with facials and that kind of stuff. And cucumbers on your eyes and things like that.
I said girls, not girly.
Oh, okay.
There's a difference.
And Granny, where the hell are you, boy?
BritishMac.com.
Good man. Podcast.
So this camping thing then, it's not proper camping then?
No, we just said that. We just established that. It's hotel camping.
What the hell is hotel camping? What's that then?
So,
how can you camp in a hotel?
It's day camp. Do you guys have day camp over there?
No.
Where you send the kids off for
if the
day
word
and
camp
go,
is
like,
used in the
UK.
No, if the word camp is used in the UK, either means that the person that you're talking to is slightly effeminate and potentially gay, or it means you're under canvas, girl. In the wilds, okay. With the bears that there aren't in the UK, but I mean...
Then we have this phenomenon called summer camp here in the US, and summer camps can be a month or it can be like a week, and it can be... like, I used to go to golf camp when I was a kid, so I would go all day, every day, and do a week of, you know, perfecting a golf swing, learning how to putt, that kind of stuff. There's, like, tennis camp and baseball camp, all kinds of sports and all kinds of inside camp kind of stuff, like band camp and those kind of things. And this is just going to be at camp, which is just camp, but, like, it's going to be local kids, so they're going to go home every night and come back. It's not going to be tents in the wilderness trying to build apps, so...
Okay.
I think my lesbians who haven't quite made up their mind camping holiday is going to be far more popular.
Well, let's see the funding you can get for it, mate.
I'll give it a go.
50k in a few weeks is a hell of a bar to get past, mate. I'm telling you.
We'd be streaming it.
Before this gets any more inappropriate, we'll be back again next week. All the shows will be done on Friday next week, because I'm working, unfortunately, and away on Thursday. We'll be back then. Whoever's got that phone, shove it up your arse, please. And we'll see you all soon. Thanks for listening.
Cheerio.